Well, it's a great joy to see a number of you again who were here with us last night. As we're worshipping now, I just thought to myself, I'm just so glad I got out of bed for this. Did you feel that? It was just such a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful time, wasn't it? And I don't know about you, but I felt so refreshed through that time. And last night we were thinking about the Holy Spirit and what he is seeking to create in these days. He's always been doing it, I'm sure, but now and again he sort of refocuses the church. And my point last night was that what the Holy Spirit is seeking in this whole area of worship, that he would lead the worship, he would fill the place like this place with his power and with his presence. And we certainly experienced something of that this morning as we were worshiping together. And then we also saw last night how the Lord wants his word to come. As we come together, we come to worship, his presence comes, he leads us into that, and he leads us into silence, and then the prophets speak. I want to speak a bit more about that later on. And then he wants it to be a place where the word of God comes, and we saw that the word of God comes in a variety of different ways. And then we saw last night that he wanted this place to be a healing place, where people come, not only ourselves, but whoever comes here, there's an opportunity for them to receive healing, to receive the renewing power and the presence of God through Jesus. And then we saw again that it wasn't something, this new life that God is giving, it's not just something for us here, as it were, symbolized in this building, but it was something for the community. It was for the poor, it was from those who are struggling, it was for those who, you know, maybe who were one parents, those who weren't really able to cope for one reason or another. That out of here, we have a heart for that, and we're working at that. And it seems to me that, I suppose, wherever the church has been alive over the centuries, that's what's been happening. That's almost like it's always been happening, but so often it sort of fades away, and then the Lord is bringing it all back again. That's what I sense. So I just want to do this time before we have coffee. This is what I'd like to do. I'd like to have an input, just a little bit of teaching. And then after that, I want to illustrate what I've been teaching. And then you're all going to be involved in doing what I've been teaching. And then we come back and then we have like a report back. And you say, you have the opportunity to say what you sense the Holy Spirit has been doing. And that'll probably take us to coffee. And then we'll come back together again after that. I want to start off really by telling you about our neighbor Dave. We live in a flat, and we have a basement and a first floor and a garden, and in Hammersmith, and our neighbor Dave and Katie, they're just above us. And Dave is a really big guy, and we've been there now about 5 years, and I think probably so is Dave. And he started off as a security guard somewhere, but now he's got his own company, and what he does, he guards pop stars when they do their thing in big areas and big centres. And his particular speciality is keeping all the girls and boys off the stage. So that's what he does, and I should think he does it very well because he's always out every night doing it somewhere. But anyway, on a number of occasions I've talked with Dave about Jesus. And we're good friends, but his response has usually been, "Well, you know, I'm not really interested. Not really. I don't have any need for that." And he said, "You know, religion's not in our family. There's no one religious in our family. So it's just we don't do religion, you see." And he said, "So that's how sort of relationship has been, you see." Well, anyway, on this particular day, our doorbell rang, and there I went out, and there was Dave. And Dave was standing there, and he was standing there like this. And I thought, "Goodness, Dave." I said, "Dave, what's the matter?" He said, "I just can't move." I said, and he was like this. I said, "What's happened?" He said, "My back." And I said, "What have you done to your back?" He said, "I don't know, it's just gone." he said, would you take me to the hospital? And I said, of course I will. So I got him out, I got Dave out into the car. That was quite an experience. Got him in there, and then I drove to the outpatients, and then I got people down to get Dave out of the car, and so on. So I said, do you want me to stay with you, or should I come back? He said, well, do you mind coming back if I phoned you? So that's how we left it. And then about 4 hours later, the phone goes, it's Dave. And I said, oh, how's it gone? He said, oh, nothing really. We've had everything, but they can't do anything. He said, the pain is still there, and they've given me some things for it, but it's as it was. So anyway, I said, I'll come and get you. So this phone was in my study, so I got a little bottle of anointing oil, which I have, and I put it in my jeans pocket, and I thought, well, I might catch him at some stage. So anyway, I go there to the hospital, and I get Dave, and I get him down, we get him into the car, get him back, get him outside, and so we now come into a hallway, which we share together, and we come into the hallway, and Dave's like this, and so I just said, I just took my courage in both hands. I said, Dave, would you like me to ask Jesus to heal you? And he said, Barry, you know we don't do we don't do God. And I said, well, I do. And then he said, all right then. So anyway, he then's there. So I get the oil out, and I put the oil on him, and I say, I pray for you, Dave, in Jesus' name. And I put a cross on him like that. And he's got hair like mine, but a lot of it. He's got it short. I've got mine short, and there's nothing there. And he's got his short and a lot there. You know, sort of like a porcupine. So anyway, I said, no, you haven't got it either. But anyway... Anyway, I have my hand on his head like this, you see, and I'm praying. But Dave is staring me out. He's just staring at me like this. He's locked into my eyes. He's like, and I'm praying like this. And he's absolutely locked like this. He's just looking, you see. And we're both staring, you see. I thought, I'm staring at him. So I'm like this, you see. And then he says to me, is it finished yet? And I said, well, I don't think it has. I think it just started, Dave. So I said, I'll tell you when it finishes. So anyway, I thought, oh, Lord, you just got to do something here. You know, you've just got to do something. So anyway, nothing seemed to particularly happen. So I said, oh, Dave, that's it now. And so I just said a little prayer like, Jesus, I just pray now that you'll continue what you've begun in Dave, you see. So I get him upstairs into his bed, and so I said, just give me a call if you want me again, you see. But I didn't hear from Dave. I didn't hear from Dave and I thought, I hope he's all right. But he didn't phone or anything, so I didn't hear it again for about 2 days. I think on the third day, we live near Tesco's, that marvellous store. And so I went to Tesco's to get something, and I come out, and this is absolutely, I come out, and then I see this massive big chap with two big bags in each hand, and he's walking across the car park like this, as if he's going to arrest somebody. You know, and it's Dave. I said, Dave, I said, I see Jesus healed you. And he said, I think he has. See, I just want to just share with you, that's a kickoff, but I want to share with you how to pray effectively by ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I learned to pray for people at my church, or not that particular church I am now, but in the past. So I know how to pray for Dave in his house. I learned to pray here. So the same thing I do here, I do wherever I get an opportunity. So it's almost like I can pray. And this whole thing of praying for people is just such an amazing way in for the gospel, because I can, with hand on heart, I can say I can't even remember over 40 years anyone ever saying to me no. I'm not walking around as a priest or with a collar. I'm just walking around like this. And it just happens. I'm with somebody or someplace and they say, oh, I've got this terrible thing, or I hear something. So we'd like me to pray. And they said, "What do you mean pray?" I said, "I just asked Jesus to bring his healing power to you." And no one's ever said no. They often think, well, if you believe that, maybe it would do some good. You see? So I think for us who believe, it would seem to me that there's just such a there's a field out there. If we take courage and actually step out, actually believing that it works. Now, Dave's a good example because, in a way, if you got if you just have ordinary eyes and to look at Dave in our hallway, it didn't work. Didn't work immediately, did it? No, it didn't. It didn't work immediately, but it did work immediately because what God intended for him was underway. It began in the hallway. It began in the hallway, and it continued into his room. It continued through the night. It just continued on, and now he's in the car park because it's finished. That God has actually done in his way and over that period of time what he had on his heart to do. Now, I just believe so much this is our calling because Jesus says in Mark's Gospel, the end of Mark's Gospel, I won't read the whole of it, I'll just read a little bit, but he's just saying to them and to all of us, you know, to go out into the world. And often you can be put off going out into the whole world, but what's the world? I mean, it's so big, isn't it? But it's not really, it's your world. It's your world. You've got your world. I've got my world. I get up in the morning, and there are certain people I see in my world you'll never see. And I'll never see people in your world. So I sense one interpretation that when you go into the world, we'll go into your day. You know, go into your day. That's what he's saying. And as you go into your day, he says, preach the good news to all creation. Preach, you know, share like I share with Dave. But it's not a heavy thing. It's not, it's almost like it's allowing the Holy Spirit to make that contact, allowing the Holy Spirit to put you in a place where that's a normal thing. It's not going to be a problem. The person's not going to sort of scream and run away. It's just a normal, it's just like a normal meeting, and you're just going to do a normal thing, you see? He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. And after the Lord Jesus spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. You see, I spoke to Dave about the healing power of Jesus. I asked the healing power of Jesus to come to Dave, and what did it do? The Lord confirmed his word by the signs following. The confirmation was that Dave was healed, wasn't it? That's the confirmation. So what I said in faith and what I prayed, it happened. The Lord confirmed it, you know. And even Dave in the car park said, "Yes, he probably." Yeah, I said, "I see Jesus heal you." He said, "Yes, I think he has." You see, he confirmed it. I just want to share with you now one's a daydream and one's a night dream. This is the night dream. This is the night dream. In my dream, I used to enjoy windsurfing a lot for many years. And I was down at the beach where I usually windsurf in Cornwall. And I'm out on the beach and I have my sail up and I'm torting it in the wind. And it's very exciting. There's plenty of wind around. It's coming off the shore. It's a beautiful day. And I'm thinking, this is going to be amazing in a minute, because I'm going to go right across the bay, which I used to do. So I'm thinking, this is going to be amazing. I look down, and there's no board. And I think, someone's whipped the board. Who's got the board? Who's got it? And I'm looking around, I can't see it. So I'm looking up and down the beach. Well, who's got the board? Where's the board? You know, can't find the board. And And then I think, oh, that's so sad. And then I'm still in the dream. I'm still in this dream. And I hear this voice, believing it to be the voice of the Lord. And the Lord said, my spirit is willing, but the church is not prepared. My spirit is willing. There was plenty of wind in the sail. My spirit is willing, but the church, the board, they're not prepared. And then I sort of woke up and thought, we're not prepared for what? I mean, we're not prepared for what? Not prepared to lead a person to Christ. Not prepared to pray with understanding for the sick. Not prepared to bring good news to the poor. Not prepared to bind up the brokenhearted. Not prepared to free captives, to bring revelation to the blind, to comfort the grieving and despairing, to release those oppressed by the torments and oppressions of the devil. Not prepared. And then this dream I had in the year 2000, it was the year I moved to London. And I came into this church to help it, to be part of it. And the average age in our church is about 26. And I'm just thinking to myself, I've been praying about, you know, what should we be doing now we're here? And I felt the Lord was saying, what you need to do is to equip these people just to do it, to do the ministry, you know, so that every person in the church. So what I'm just sharing with you now, I suppose over 10 years, I've put hundreds through such a course. And now we have, I suppose we just have hundreds of people who have or have been part of teams and who do what I want to share with you now, because what I want to share now, I just feel to be just so important. It's just so, so important in what Jesus has on his heart and what Jesus wants each one of us, as Jonathan was saying by way of introduction, he wants each one of us to be a minister. That's what he wants, each one of us, not special ones, each one of us. So I want to pick that up in a minute. The second thing I want to say, it was like a daydream. In those days when I could climb on them, I used to go to a gym, like most of you chaps, not just in January either. It's so funny, I used to belong to this gym for about 10 years, and it had, you know, jacuzzi and saunas, all that sort of stuff. And I always used to have a little joke with the regulars, and I used to always say, oh, here come the January lot. And they'd all turn up, you know, grossly overweight over Christmas, and everybody comes in and gets on the bike, and then they deal with the heart attacks and the strokes and everything, and everybody disappears again until the summer, and they all get nice figures for the beaches. And I always used to say, here come the summer crowd, and they were all in again. And nothing had altered since Christmas, so they're on the bikes again and doing their thing again. And then they go off on holiday and think, oh, thank goodness for that. And then we don't see them again until January. So anyway, that's just my take on the English getting fit for whatever, or getting unfit, whatever. But that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is I haven't quite remembered. But anyway, I was making some sort of point, and I'm sure of that. Oh, yes, I was on this bike, and you know, you're on a bike, it's terribly boring, because you're pedaling as fast as you can to nowhere. It's ridiculous. I don't know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Grown men doing it, it's ridiculous. You know, you're all along watching each other, seeing how fast you're going. You're having a little snide look over the clock, see how quickly, if they're going as quickly as you are, you know. I'm quicker than that old boy there, and I'm not. And this young chap here is going about three times my speed. And I think he'd have a heart attack if he gets that, you know. But anyway, you know how you're on the bike. And but anyway, I'm on the bike, and it's the whole thing. We have television in our one, and we can watch whatever you like. But all of that gets so boring if you're on the bike. But anyway, so this is what I'm having. I'm on the bike, and I'm just pedaling to nowhere. And then I had a daydream. And I think God speaks, or I do believe, God speaks in night dreams. I want to talk about that after coffee. That's one of the ways that God can communicate with us, that we have what I call significant dreams, which are the Holy Spirit-inspired dreams, like that dream I spoke to you about being on the beach. That's a Holy Spirit-inspired dream. But I also believe you can have daydreams in which it's that you're just thinking nothing in particular. Then the Holy Spirit somehow, he comes and he sort of inspires. He comes and brings you, you begin to think something you're not really thinking about normally. And so it's almost like a night dream, but it's not, it actually happens in the day. So anyway, I'm just doing this, and I'm just thinking about over many, many years, and many places I've been, and many things I've seen, and I was thinking of many conferences I've been at in the past, and when the speaker said, now, they say, I just feel today God's anointing the evangelists. Now, if you feel you have a call for evangelism, come forward, and there'll be people here to pray for you. And so, God is anointing the prophets. You know, if you feel you've got a prophetic voice, if you begin to hear God, you know, come forward, and so on. And so, I've seen that happen. I've seen hundreds of people coming forward, and I've seen them all scattered on the floors of great places, stadiums, churches, wherever, and so on. And I'm seeing this, I'm just going through all the different places as I'm pedaling along. And then I'm thinking about all these people, nameless to me, but I'm just thinking about them all. And I'm thinking the Holy Spirit was so, obviously so powerfully present in these people. And then I just heard in my imagination the voice of the Lord say, I've anointed them, but where are the mature? And I thought, where are they? Where are they? And I thought of all those hundreds and hundreds of evangelists I saw. I thought, well, who's actually doing it? There's J. John, and there's who? Who, did you say? And there's who? Who else is there? You know, who else is there? And where are the prophets? And I think, again, it's almost like the Holy Spirit wants us again to be caught up again in to develop the gift that you have. What is that gift? Well, put yourself in a place where you can exercise that gift. And as you exercise the gift, the particular gift God has given you, so you mature in that gift. And so the Holy Spirit matures you. Because what the Lord is, as we go on into the future, he wants mature people, mature in the giftings that he has anointed and the giftings that God has given. So, now I want to speak now on three words, and then I'm going to do my little illustration, and then you're all going to do your little illustrations. And that's not the time to have a loo break either when I say that. You've got to stay here for this. First of all, I want us to focus on Jesus, because this is his ministry. That's what we're involved with. It's the ministry of Jesus, and that's the ministry that he has given to you and he's given to me. And so I just want to look at just three simple aspects of the ministry of Jesus. First of all, I want to look at the whole question of authority. Authority. Now, we notice with Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry, one of the first characteristics people saw about him was the authority. It was his authority. And they saw it in these ways. One, in his teaching. He taught them as one having authority. And that was in relationship to other rabbis who also taught, but they were sort of quoting other rabbis, and they're all quoting each other. But Jesus quoted nobody. He was the sole authority. His was the first and the last word on any given subject. So Jesus had authority as he taught, but Jesus had authority over. He had authority over evil spirits or unclean spirits, those sort of invisible, demonic, dark things which torment people and oppress people. He had authority over those. He had authority over sickness. He had authority over disease. Jesus had authority over death. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised that young boy, the widow of Nain's young son, from the death. And there are lots of people Jesus raised from the death because he had authority over death. Jesus had authority over the elements. He had authority over the wind and the waves. Jesus had this incredible authority. And therefore, what happened when he said it, it happened, because his authority was such that it had to happen, because the word had to happen, because he had the authority to make it happen. So Jesus had this incredible authority. Now, this centurion had a great insight into this, because this centurion was watching Jesus. He's watching him do the things I've just spoken to you about. And he's absolutely fascinated by him. So he comes to him with a request. And he said, my son is very ill. And Jesus said, well, he said, I'll come to your home and I'll heal him. And the centurion says, well, you don't have to come to my home. Just say the word. Say the word. And my son will be healed. And then Jesus said, this is amazing. He said, in the whole of the church, I've never seen faith like this. This is a centurion. This is like, from the Jewish perspective, this was like a pagan. This is somebody outside of it all. And Jesus said, I've never seen this type of faith exercise, you know, amongst those who presumably do have faith. I've never seen it. And so, and then he sort of in his question asked him, well, how did you come to that? And this centurion said, well, this is what I see. He said, I'm a man with authority. I say to this soldier, soldier, go. I say to this soldier, come and come. I say to my servant, do this and do that. And everybody obeys me. But I have authority, but I'm also under authority. I'm under senior officers. I have authority. But that authority has been delegated to me. And therefore, he said, I've watched you, Jesus, because you're like that. You have this authority to do the things that I was speaking of previously. You have it, but it's been delegated. I can also see that you are under authority. He was a man with great perception, because he saw that Jesus, as he said on another occasion, I only do what I see my Father doing. So this centurion had the perception to see that that's how Jesus functioned. You know, he had authority, but was delegated to him. He was implementing the will and the purposes of somebody who had that authority. So Jesus' authority was delegated, but then Jesus delegated authority. He called the 12 to him, and he gave them authority. Same to do the same things as he did. He then called the 72 to him, and he gave them authority. And then at the end of his life, at his resurrection, prior to going back to be with his Father in heaven, he just gave authority to all who believe. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. You take that authority, he's saying that to the church, you take that authority, and you go and do what I do. Now, how do we exercise that authority? What does it actually mean? You have that authority. I have that authority. But what does it look like? What does it look like? You see, our authority is the name. Our authority is the name of Jesus. That's our authority. And therefore, when we pray for people, I prayed for Dave. How did I pray for him? In the name of Jesus. That's all I've got. That's the only authority I've got. All I've got I can pray for anybody on the whole planet, but I'll pray for you in the name of Jesus. So I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus, there is healing. Remember those Peter and John going to the temple, and they see this cripple, and he's begging, and they say, we've got nothing in our pockets, but what we have, we give to you. What did they have? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of. And therefore, there's healing in the name of. There is exorcism in the name of. So that's what we have. That's the authority you have and the authority I have. So in any context, in any situation, we can pray for people in the name of Jesus. Now, the second word I want to look at is the word power, the authority and the word power. Now, we minister in the name of Jesus, under the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, with Jesus, Jesus was born of the Spirit, obviously, and that was the miraculous. That was the most miraculous of all miracles, as He came to be among us. God came to be among us. So Jesus is perfect God and He's perfect man. He is the perfect God-man. Is Jesus, and although born of the Spirit, at His baptism, something happened to Him, because at His baptism, the Father equipped Him, empowered Him to do the things that we've been thinking of. You see, when He went to be baptized, John was baptizing lots of people. And the reason people were being baptized, if they wanted to turn their life around and to live for God, the sign of that was to be baptized. So Jesus came, and John wouldn't baptize him initially because he said, "No, I can't baptize you." He saw that he didn't, you know, there's no way he didn't. He wasn't infected by sin or infected by anything, in his life. But Jesus said, "No, this needs to happen," because it's like at His baptism. That's where Jesus first began to walk to the cross, because it was there that He identified with you and me. As He went down, He completely identified with us, and then He came out of the water of baptism, and then the heaven was open, and then. And then he hears a voice of affirmation. The Father says, "This is my Son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased." And then He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, He's now led by the Spirit out into this wilderness for this period of 6 weeks. He's led by the Spirit. And then after that period of time, He comes out of the desert, says He comes out in the power of the Spirit. And then He comes to the His home synagogue, and He reads the passage from Isaiah the prophet. He said, where it says it's a prophetic word concerning the coming of the Messiah and His ministry, Isaiah 61, where He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up broken hearts, to set free captives, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to pronounce that this is the day of the Lord, to comfort those who grieve," and so on and so on. And then Jesus just said very simply, He stood to read this, then He sat down. He said, "Well, this very day, that prophetic word spoken 730 years ago by Isaiah the prophet, in this little place here, it's happened, because I'm fulfilling it. That's what I've come to do." So Jesus then, He went on to minister in the power of the Spirit. For example, when He set free those people who were demonized, He said, "If I by the Spirit of God cast out Satan, then the kingdom of God has come. If I by the Spirit of God." So it's like that is the power. It is the power of the Spirit which brings into being the will and the purposes of God. So we're praying in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit. And that's why Jesus was so adamant about the disciples waiting in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. He says, look, and Jesus, he was raised from the dead. We all know that, and we praise God. But He then spent 6 weeks, and I've often thought that's a long time, 6 weeks. It's 1 month and 2 weeks. It's quite a long time. And he's now spent that period of time. It's like the whole of October and 2 weeks into November. He spent that time as a resurrected Jesus among His disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God. But He's saying to them, don't tell anybody about this. Well, I would find that very difficult. He said, don't tell anybody about this, because for this to actually touch people's hearts, for this to bring healing and transformation into people's lives, there's got to be a power that's got to come to you. Because it's through this power of the Spirit that I have done these things, and it's only to bring in the kingdom of God, and it's only through the power of the Spirit that you're going to do the things that I've done. It's only by that power. So wait in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. And it's almost like, as God has called us to be ministers in the kingdom, he said to be that, you need a certain set of clothes. You need to be clothed. And the clothes are the clothing of the Holy Spirit. We were asking the Lord in an indirect way, Jonathan leading us to start with, you know, about the woman at the well of Samaria, you know, out of your innermost being should flow rivers of living water. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that is speaking with you, you could ask him and he'd give you living water. So that is the clothing. It's the Spirit that clothes us to minister. It's the Spirit that clothes us to minister. And so you have the Spirit. You have the Spirit. That's what makes you a Christian person. Paul says on a number of occasions, they who do not have the Spirit do not belong to Christ. You have the Spirit. You have the Spirit. You have the Spirit. You have the Spirit. You all have it. You have him. And where is he? He's in your heart. God has poured his Spirit into your heart. You see? The love of God has been poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. So that's what makes you a Christian person, you see. You have the Spirit. You have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in your heart. That's what you've got. So you've got that power, the power of the Spirit. Now, the power of the Spirit releases to us the gifts of the Spirit because, you know, we are alive to the Spirit. And therefore, the gifts of the Spirit, so when you come to minister to, you know, you come to pray for people, God has made available to you the gifts that you would require. You see? Like when I was praying for Dave, the Lord made available for me the gift of healing. And that's he made available for me. You see, because that's what I needed at that context, at that place. I often see that in this way. I remember my Mary. So she's a great. She's very medical, and that's her background, medical background, and all that stuff. And she likes watching things that make us, you know, faint. Even grown men faint, like operations on the television. And have you ever seen the operation? Don't talk to me about it. But if you watch them, they're amazing what they do. But, you know, like they cut you down the center, open you up, and they just take your heart out. I always think when they do that, I think, I hope they don't lose it. Do you ever think that? Awful, and someone dropped and tossed it out and went for a cup of tea and it came back, the heart had gone. There you're lying there without your heart. You say, who's got the heart? I don't know, I thought you had it. No, you thought you had it. I never had it. I didn't have it. Well, you had it last. No, I don't put it there. Oh, the cleaner's got it. You better go down to the cleaner. She's got it out the back there somewhere before she throws it away. But the thing But the thing is about the heart, about these pictures, these sort of things, these programs. I'm fascinated by the people who do them. But you know, it's like they're all in green because that's the in colour, and the person's there, and Mary's watching, and I'm watching like this. Do you watch like that? Is it? I just about see it. But the bit I want to bring to you is this. The leading surgeon is just there like this, and he's bending over, and there are these sort of, there's a nurse here or sister, a theatre sister there and there, and he's doing this incredible thing inside someone, and he's not looking at it, all he's looking at is that, and he puts his hand out, and she puts in his hand whatever it is, and he does that, and he puts it there, and he puts another hand out, so all the time he's just watching that, and then he's just putting his hand out, and the person who's assisting knows exactly what they're going to put in his hand. So she puts in his hand whatever he needs for that next bit, you see. And I was watching this with Mary. I thought, you know, that's just how the Holy Spirit works. You know, that when we're praying for somebody, we're concentrating on what we're doing. But the Holy Spirit then, whatever we need at that, whatever we need for that moment, whatever spiritual gift we need for that moment, it's available to us. It's almost like we need to be open to receive it and to actually. For example, it was seen to me that. And the gifts of the Spirit concerning what I'm talking about now is it's like the gift of revelation. There's the gift of revelation and the gifts of power. The gift of revelation. Well, I won't won't go into that because I just want to move on a bit. But there are the gifts of revelation, the gifts of the Spirit where God shows you. And then there are gifts of power, like the gifts of healing or a gift of miracle, or the gift of faith is a gift of power because faith releases God's purposes, power and purposes. So there are gifts. There are gifts of power and there are gifts of revelation. But what I'm saying to us all, that God has made available everything. We don't turn up. We don't turn up and haven't got the gear. You know, we don't. We turn up and we have the gear. Whenever you work, you've got the gear. You've got everything you need for what you want for this encounter. It will either be in a, this like here or wherever you happen to be. And my third word, and I just want to draw it in, and I want to sort of model this. My first word was authority, which you have. My second word was power, which you have. And my third word is revelation. My third word is revelation. That's how Jesus ministered. Now, you don't have to have, I say this before I start this, but you don't have to have revelation to pray for somebody. You know, someone says, oh, do you know, I've just had this headache all day. And I say, well, shall I just, who would like me to pray? I don't have to have revelation particularly about that. I just need to pray for the, you know, that God will just release the tension and, you know, bring healing. So, but sometimes I do need to, sometimes the Lord will show me what, because often when you're with a person, the presenting problem that they're talking about is not the real problem, and therefore it's just a symptom of the real problem. And but the Holy Spirit will show you that. Yeah, I think I was going to speak on that, but I think probably what could happen, I could lose time. You know, it could almost be. I could talk too much, and that would be terrible, wouldn't it? And thank you. And the thing would be, it's like this is like a reluctant dancing partner. Anyway, we've sorted it out. There you go. Because anyway, I can bring up that when we come back again, because I want to talk about prophecy, that you are a prophetic person. Because you're a Christian, you're also a prophetic person. And I want to develop that in the second, after coffee. So the illustration I want to give now, maybe I could even start off giving that after coffee. Okay, but now I just want to... I just want we're going to start somewhere. I want to illustrate this with you. Has anyone had problems? It's almost like it's stomach problems. It's like a reoccurring. I think it's a pain in the tummy. That's what it is. It's often down this side. Anybody got suffer from that? A pain, maybe a reoccurring pain you have in your tummy. Anybody? I'll just come out just for a minute. Boo, just come for a minute. Now, do you mind being prayed for?
No.
Oh, good. Do you mind just turning it? They're quite nice to look at. Some are more beautiful than others, but anyway, just... Now, what's your name?
Christina.
Christina. And how long have you had that?
I'd say a number of years.
Yeah. And what is it? How does it manifest itself?
It's just... kind of comes and goes, but it's in my side.
Yeah, yeah. And did anything happen 2 years ago when you began to experience that?
I'm not sure. I think I've had it a number of years.
Yeah. Has there been any sort of traumatic? You don't have to say it, but has there been any traumatic thing happen in your life?
Lots of traumatic things. Lots of traumatic things.
They have, yeah. Okay. Just say your name again.
Christina.
Christina. Well, we're just going to pray now, and we'll just pray together for Christina. And I'm just giving like a model, so that when we're going to pray, and we're going into twos in a minute, and we're going to pray for the person that we're with. But we'll come to that in a minute. But I just want to give you a model. Now, Christina, I'm going to ask her if she just closes her eyes, because she's going to close her eyes, and she's going to, do you mind doing that? She's going to focus on Jesus. And we are both going to keep our eyes open. We're going to keep our eyes open. Now, I was just watching last night when some of the ministry team was praying. This is not a wrong sort of judgment. But I think when you lay hands on people, it's not sort of like we're not running a massage parlor here. It's like I was watching last night. Someone was getting a big massage, and it's not to do with getting a massage. It's to do with the Holy Spirit coming through you to the person that you're praying for. That's what it's about. So what you can do with your hands is that, like, for example, now I just pray for you now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we welcome your power and your presence upon your daughter now. Now just relax and just allow the Holy Spirit to come.
Lord, how to put your cross between Christina and all the traumas of
that's
life,
right.
Lord. All those things have been like an earthquake in her soul. And I want to break the power of that over you, Christina. I break the power of it now,
yes.
In Jesus' name. I break the power, and I just let them go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
I'm just going to comment. You just keep receiving.
It's breaking.
You see, it's almost like Christina's had a lot of sort of trials, tribulations, things that have been difficult. And it's almost like those things have been, it's like that's the key to it. It's the key to the tummy thing. And so what Mary's doing, she's putting the cross between her and all those things that impacted her life in a negative way, and asks Jesus just to break the power of those things. So that's what's happening now. The Lord is breaking the power of those things.
Break the power of all grief. Just break the power of grief over you now. Break it.
Yeah.
Just allow the Lord to do it. It's like almost take a deep breath. It's just like it's you hold on to it. It's like you're brave. You just keep going. You get up and then you get going again.
Yeah.
The Lord wants you just to let go of it.
Let it go. Now the Holy Spirit's ministering, and now the second thing is we're going to say in Jesus' name. Mary's going to put a hand where it is and just say, in Jesus' name we speak healing to you now. Now just receive now. Now sometimes when you just say, in Jesus' name I speak healing, then maybe before that or then or even after that, suddenly like a heat will come through, or electricity will come through. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus said, John the Baptist said, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, he came like tongues of fire resting on them. And fire is not just a symbol of the Holy Spirit, it often describes his action. And I've noticed over the years that often when the Lord is bringing healing to a person, the healing is coming and heat is coming. And heat often just radiates right through the area that we're praying for. Now, Christine, are you feeling anything particular? Mm-hmm. What are you feeling?
Just feel the Holy Spirit at work.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Christine is very open to the Holy Spirit, and she's just feeling now the Holy Spirit just working in her heart and life.
Yes, Lord.
She's going to, at the end of this week, this will all be gone. This thing has troubled her for 2 years. It's gone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It'll be gone by Friday.
Yes. Yes.
I think.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, now, what we're going to do now, we're going to go into twos. So I don't want you to be with your buddy who knows everything about you. Because that's not the object of the exercise. So what we're going to do is that we're going to go into twos and we're going to pray for each other. And for example, you're going to say to you know, what is it you'd like prayer for? Now, we're not really, for most of us, we're not having some great big thing we want prayer for. It may just you know, break down to, well, I've got quite a difficult meeting next Monday at work. So, or I'm sort of having a bit of a problem with the people next door. Or it may just be something like that. Or it may be some physical condition. It may be something you're struggling with. It could be anything, you know, because that's what the ministry's about. Anything that is taking away your peace as a person, will just say to your buddy, would you pray for me? This is what it is. And we've just given a model for that. I know it's just a model, but I say, you do the same here, I know, in this church. You pray for people after the services. But this is key. I can see this over the years now. This is where all the talk, this is where the rubber hits the road. It's where all the talk happens. It actually happens because God is here and God does it. Okay, let's stand. And just look around and find somebody, chaps to chaps and girls to girls, and come out of the pews, because you can't do this in the pews. There's plenty of room around. Come right out and find yourself a place. Come out of the pew, right out, get yourself an area. Make sure nobody's missed out. So just have a time now, just begin to say to each other, I'd just like you to pray about whatever it is. And when you do that, give plenty of time. Make sure everybody has somebody. It's best to do it standing up. When you pray standing up. Okay.